God alone my soul in silence waits. Truly my hope is in him. You may be seated. The great evangelist, Reverend Billy Graham, tells of a time early in his career when he went to a small town to preach a sermon. And wanting to mail a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. And when the young boy told him, Reverend Graham thanked him and said, "You know, if you come to the Baptist church this evening, you will hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." The young boy said, "Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go. You don't even know your way to the post office." And the story reminds me of times when I was a youth minister and I would speak of lofty and spiritual things to the youth and almost get us all lost on the way to mini golf. Whenever we attempt to answer the call to evangelize, to share the gospel, we are often brought face to face with our humanity and limitations. We need all the help we can get. And the readings this morning actually offer some help by presenting us with a colorful variety of ways to evangelize, or as the colic says, to answer readily the call of our Savior and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation. Jonah, fresh out of the belly of a big fish, uses a very terse fire and brimstone method, saying simply to the Ninevites, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be no more. In Hebrew, it's only 5 words. Od arba'im yom yineveh nipachet. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, there is an urgent exhortation to let go of what is familiar in order to embrace what is to come, even if that means sexual abstinence within marriage. And in the gospel, Jesus proclaims good news, saying, "The time is now, the kingdom is near." And then with concise imperatives, repent, believe, follow me, he incites immediate response from his listeners, who leave even familial attachments to follow him. And all these methods may have their place in evangelism: fire and brimstone preaching, urgent exhortations, and the proclamation of news so good that it demands leaving even our family. But the evangelistic method that I want to explore and advocate this morning is one described in the psalm we read, Psalm 62, which prays, "For God alone my soul in silence waits. Truly my hope is in him." I want to explore evangelizing through patient silence, using patient silence before, after, and during our proclamation of the good news. Now, all major world religions uphold the sacred power of silence and its necessity for spiritual growth, and our Christian tradition is certainly no exception. The great theologian Meister Eckhart said, "Nothing in creation is so like God as silence." And St. John of the Cross said, "Silence is God's first language." The Bible suggests practicing patient silence before proclaiming God's message. We cannot speak words of truth, much less proclaim the gospel, unless we first listen. And it is in intentional silence that we can truly listen to ourselves, to others, and to God. By practicing patient silence as a regular spiritual discipline, we grow more attuned to the message that God has for us and the message that God wants to speak through us to others. Silence and solitude are absolutely integral to Christian spirituality, as well as essential to effective evangelism. Although this can be seen clearly in the lives of saints throughout church history, we only have to look again at today's readings to see the necessity for patient silence prior to evangelism. Jonah preached only after 3 days and 3 nights of silence and dark solitude in the belly of a great fish. And although Paul started preaching and evangelizing immediately after his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, his initial evangelism was not successful. Paul's evangelism and missionary activity did not really take off until 14 years later, after his baptism and a decade and a half of preparation. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright argues that Paul actually traveled to Mount Sinai during this preparation period and remained there for a substantial amount of time, meditating in silence and solitude. And of course, Jesus did not proclaim the good news until after spending 40 days in the silence and solitude of the Palestinian deserts. The verse immediately preceding our gospel passage today reads, "Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts." Jonah, Paul, and Jesus proclaimed a message that was forged out of silence and solitude. And that silence and solitude clearly held enormous challenges for all of them. The belly of a fish, wild beasts, desert aridity, satanic temptations. Clearly, intentional silence and solitude are very difficult for us to practice, because it is in silence that we often face our own wild beasts and dark shadows. French philosopher Blaise Pascal said, "All of man's troubles stem from his inability to sit alone quietly in a room." Silence is hard, but in order to evangelize without pushing our own agendas or projecting our own problems onto others, we need to practice intentional silence. Otherwise, our evangelism can easily cause more damage than good and desecrate the name of Christ rather than boldly proclaim his good news. By practicing patient silence, we can learn to say the right thing at the right time to the right person. The Bible also suggests practicing patient silence after proclaiming God's message. The first sermon I preached at my home parish was on the parable of the mustard seed. At the time, I was a youth minister, and the parable really encouraged me as I was planting seeds in the souls of young people. Although I tried to speak a message to the youth forged out of my own discipline of silence, I still found it very hard to see fruits of my labor. The youth were not always very responsive and sometimes not even present. And when they were, they mostly just wanted to play dodgeball or video games, which fortunately I also love to do. Sometimes I would try to experiment with what is called contemplative youth ministry and invite us to practice brief moments of silence together. I worked sometimes with the older kids, but trying to keep silence with junior hires for more than 10 seconds was like trying to fit Jonah's big fish into a Ziploc bag. It was not very possible, especially with this particular group of junior hires. A few months ago, however, I visited my home parish and had the chance to see some of the youth that I once ministered to. I saw that one of those mustard seeds that I had planted years ago had turned into a tree. And I mean that in more ways than one, because he is now almost a foot taller than me. This particular kid named Christian was always the most rowdy and out of control during youth group. And we had kept in touch through Facebook, and I could see by his updates that he continued to remain pretty rowdy and out of control. But after catching up, we walked over to a nearby meditation hall with another friend, and there we decided to sit in prayerful silence together for 10 minutes, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And 10 minutes is a long time for anyone to sit in intentional silence. So you can imagine how encouraged I was to see Christian, who 2 years ago couldn't be silent for more than 10 seconds, remain present to that silence for 10 minutes. I had been holding him and the other youth of the church in my own prayerful silences throughout the years. And by doing so, I was giving God the space to grow the seeds that I had planted. And I had the great opportunity to see God's fruit in him. By waiting patiently in silence for God to work and grow in Christian, I was able to sit in that same patient silence with him, where both of us could listen to God's message to us, as well as to the message that God wanted to speak through us. So we evangelize through silence by practicing silence and solitude before we proclaim the good news, so that our message is inspired by God and not by our own agendas. And we practice silence after we proclaim the good news in order to give God the space to grow the seeds we planted. And finally, we use patient silence during evangelism to the point that our patient silence is evangelism. We evangelize through silence by simply listening to others, listening empathetically to their stories, their joys, and their sorrows, and thus embody Christ by emptying ourselves and simply offering a listening ear and a silent mouth. St. Francis understood the power of evangelism through silence when he said, "Preach the gospel always. Use words only when necessary." By practicing silence before, after, and during evangelism, we give God the space to speak through us, to say the right thing at the right time to the right person, even if what we say involves no words. So I encourage us all to continue to respond to the call to evangelize, not necessarily through fire and brimstone preaching, but by practicing intentional silence and remaining open in that silence to God's message for us and to the message that God wants to speak through us. So I invite us all, certainly including myself, to practice just 10 minutes of intentional silence each day this week. Although 10 minutes might not sound like a lot of time, it's really not that easy. It's actually a very challenging invitation. And in that silence, I invite us to remain open to God's message for us and the message that God wants to speak through us. Pascal, who said, "All of man's troubles stem from his inability to sit alone quietly in a room," understood the difficulty of silence. As do today's readings. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited on him. Although we may face our own wild beasts and dark shadows and temptations in our silence, the angels will attend to us, and God will speak to us. Maybe not in words, but in his first language, which according to St. John of the Cross is silence. "For God alone my soul in silence waits." Amen.
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving.